This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Rangers baseball coming up tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch, taking on the Angels. And it's time now to talk with John Daniels, president of baseball operations. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And Cars for Kids, supporting Texans Can Academies, right off the car, not the kid. And a good afternoon, JD. How the heck are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we are doing great, man. Tough one over the weekend, but I was wondering from you guys, how much are you focused on wins and losses right now?
You know, I think from like a front office standpoint, big picture, kind of know where we're at, where we are, and you're not, you're coming into the year, we weren't focused in the off season on making the moves that you would make if you were, you know, expecting to win and contend. That being said, like, we don't want that to be part of the culture in the clubhouse. So there's absolutely from a day-to-day standpoint with Woody, with the staff, with the players, I mean, the total focus is on winning downstairs. It's a fine line to walk, you know, when our actions in the off season don't necessarily back that up. But I think the guys understand what we're doing and, you know, putting together a young foundation that we've got at the same time. Teach them to play the type of baseball, kind of clean baseball, that will ultimately lead to winning as they develop and our talent base gets bigger.
What's sort of the optimal way that you're looking for the franchise to react when you get swept?
You know, so it's interesting. I think we've been swept now twice this year. And both times, we played, with the exception of yesterday. Yesterday was not a good game, obviously. You know, Kohei didn't have much of anything from a command standpoint yesterday. And then, you know, DeGus came in and also was a little erratic. And so we were down 8-1. You know, once the offense got going, it was 8-4 late innings, and we really didn't have a shot. Before that, you know, in three games against San Diego, even the game we got no hit, you know, 2-0, and then the two games here, Friday, Saturday, we're in every game, you know. And so, you know, last year there were moments where it was ugly. You know, we got really like knocked around the field. And this year I've been much more pleased with it, whether we've won or lost. The style of play, you know, we're not walking guys. We're playing clean defense for the most part. We're having quality at bats. Even on days where we strike out a bunch, we're generally on base from walks. We have chances late in games to tie games up or take the lead. So I've been generally pleased with the quality of play, even when the ultimate outcome isn't there.
JD, you mentioned Kohei there, and I saw the scuttlebutt, I like that word, after the game, that the idea that perhaps he was tipping a couple of the pitches, including the splitter. Would you rather have an explanation for a poor outing be, well, he didn't really have his command and that happens? Or, oh, we can identify this really quickly. Look, you were tipping that. We're going to fix that. We're going to move ahead.
Yeah, I think that there may be something to that. But at the same time, I've been talking to the staff today. It was really cold there yesterday. I personally hate that as an excuse because the other team's got to, you know, play in it as well. And, you know, you want to play in meaningful games and postseason. Like, you know, right now we're in a good spot with the dome. But, you know, you go up to face any of these Northeast teams or even the Northern California teams, like, it's going to be cold. You go into Chicago in the playoffs, like, it's going to be cold. So that's just something we've got to deal with. You know, and we've got to there has to be a level of adversity that we can get through, and the game conditions are one of them. So, you know, might there have been some tipping, possibly. Some teams are better at picking that up than others. I also think that it was a first for Kohei, and don't know how many more cold games we'll have, but, you know, like to see him make an adjustment there.
Okay, now this is one of the most confounding things I've seen in Ranger watching history, which for me is about 25 years of it. Joey Gallo's season to this point, one home run, but his on-base percentage is almost 450, leading the league in walks and strikeouts. How would you categorize his season so far?
Well, listen, I think it's been unusual for over a 22-game stretch. You know, I was asked about this by the beat writers earlier, and I think if you were to tell me that, you know, he had a bunch of home runs but no walks, I would say that success is not sustainable. If you tell me that he is staying in the strike zone, has really reduced his chase rate, but the power hasn't been there yet, I think that's much more likely to lead to you know, good outcomes in the future. Because I mean, Joey's hit for power since he was probably in Little League, right? 10 years old, he was the best player on the field, and you know, he hasn't lost that. So I think what you're seeing, and Joey's made a conscious effort not to chase, not to let pitchers get him out of the strike zone. We've seen it play out here at a pretty, you know, extreme level. But the other thing I think is that you've got Solak and Lowe and Adolis that have been productive behind them. And, you know, guys are going to have to come into the zone a little bit more. And I think that'll allow Joey to make an adjustment. I think you'll see his power numbers go up.
JD, here's my scouting background getting the best of me, because I watched the Rocker kid pitch this weekend at on the SEC network. Mm-hmm. And when you evaluate pitchers like that, is there a certain body type that you have found over the years make better pitchers? He's just so impressively big on the mound. Is that one of those things where scouts would go, he's too big? Or is it, no, he's pretty much what we want that type of a pitcher to look like?
It's a great question, and it's something we talk about a lot, that there are kind of general ranges where most of the successful players come from. Obviously, you know, as athletes get bigger, faster, stronger, you're seeing that kind of get stretched here a little bit. You know, now you've got every team, whether it's Gallo or Judge or Stanton or every team's got somebody like that at this point, where, you know, probably 30 years ago, 40 years, it was, you know, one or two guys, Dave Winfield, you can count them on your hand. Same in the NBA, right? You see just a different caliber athlete. But, you know, pitching is interesting because we have the measurables used to be just what you're saying, right? Like, you know, height, weight, velocity, things like that. And now, you know, it's much more focused on the kind of pitch characteristics that somebody can generate, and then on their durability. I mean, I think that's probably a little bit more of the two factors. So the body shape and kind of how a guy moves will affect those two things. But I think we're looking at it more in that context of, like, how, you know, what can he do with the baseball, and you know, based on how he looks physically and how he moves physically, like, how long, you know, do we project his durability to last.
It's John Daniels here with you on your home of the Rangers. I saw our friend Ruggie had a good weekend. Do you keep track of your former players, JD?
Oh, for sure, man. Sometimes to a negative degree for my mental health. But yeah, I just shot him a text. I was happy to see him hit a bomb there the other day in a big spot, and it looks like he's after, you know, initially maybe a little slower start, starting to play pretty well for him.
So Adolis Garcia has exploded onto the scene for you guys, and he is just so much fun to watch. Obviously power is fun to watch, but the emotion, the joy, it's all a lot of fun. Is it fair at all to draw a comparison to somebody like Nelson Cruz? Because at the age of 28, suddenly it's like, holy cow, has this guy just arrived, when for the first 27 years we maybe didn't see that coming?
I mean, it sounds a little nuts to suggest that at this point, right? For me to say that, given that, hell, a month ago we ran him through waivers and we got fortunate that he cleared.
And Nelly's still going.
And, yeah, Nelly at age, you know, 40, whatever, is, you know, still one of the elite hitters in the game. But there are some similarities. I mean, they're both, like, tremendous athletes that, you know, had late starts for different reasons. You know, Dolis being from Cuba, then obviously he goes to Japan for the year before he comes back. You know, Nelly was a volleyball player, didn't play baseball till later, was traded, I think, three times before we even got him. And really both guys kind of failed initially in the big leagues, cleared waivers, went back down, and then now we're getting an additional opportunity. So clearly some similarities there. And just the other similarity is kind of what you touched on, just the joy these guys play the game with. You know, I mean, Nelly always had fun, was always kind of a fan favorite. I could see Adolis, certainly if his production stays at a high level, falling into that same category.
Well, he just won American League Player of the Week, too, I'm seeing from Jeff Wilson. So that's absolutely awesome for him. With Leody Taveras, and maybe that'll be another follow-up question, being option to the or sent to the alternate set. I'm not sure how you phrase that. Is Garcia, does he profile as a guy that can play center field? I know he's been out there, but how is he defensively doing that?
Yeah, we've got him as a plus center fielder, actually. But we had, in fact, when we picked him up from the Cardinals 2 winters ago, both our scouts and our analysts had him as one of the better defenders and the outfield defenders in minor league, period. So, you know, we'd probably be even more confident as defense than we were as offense. When we picked him up at the time. So he can definitely play out there. And, I mean, you've kind of seen, you know, he won a game with his arm against Baltimore last Sunday. Then he goes out and, you know, pulls back a home run from Ohtani. But he's comfortable in any of the three outfield spots.
JD, you guys have struggled a little bit at the new ballpark this year, though. Is it maybe the opponents, or is it still just trying to get used to the surroundings, or – do you guys have an answer for maybe why you've had some slow starts there?
That's a great question. You see why I was asking about that the other day when we were playing Baltimore here last weekend. And I don't really think we have an answer. My general sense is that it's just a small sample, you know, over time, and it'll kind of level out. I do think that playing here with the roof open on the day game, you know, seems to be a better environment for the pitchers than the hitters in general. But that affects both teams the same way. And so I'm not totally sure why, you know, we've gotten off to a little bit slower start here. Hopefully we turn it around this week.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about is Kyle Gibson, who threw 5 starts, a 2.3 ERA is pretty darn good. And you mentioned at the beginning of the segment the expectations and what the goals were for this year. When a guy like that plays so well, when do you start having conversations about, well, do we want to talk to him about more years, or do we want to pick up the phone and see what, if we can find more Dane Dunnings?
Yeah. I mean, I think just in general, like trade conversations to the degree we have them, I don't think we'll pick up until closer to the All-Star break, you know, into July. Every once in a while, there's something before them, but doubtful. And with Gibby, you know, we signed him thinking that there was more in there, that, you know, kind of on the heels of signing Minor and Lynn, that our guys had identified a few things. I give him a ton of credit for what he's done over the winter, and, feel like he's just starting to tap into that. So we haven't ruled anything out. I think all the options are still in front of us. He's 33, he'll be 34 next season, and I think with the adjustments he made, he can be a quality pitcher beyond that.
All right, JD, we got the G-men behind the Cowboys picking in the 11th hole this weekend. What direction you think they're going to go? I'm hearing you're looking at defensive ends and potentially wide receivers. You have anything in mind there?
Well, your sources are a lot better than mine. I'm just reading what guys like you are writing. I'm intrigued by both the Alabama wideouts. I'm intrigued by Slater at Northwestern. I like Parsons as well. Who would you – you guys as Cowboys, kind of part of Cowboys Nation, extended Cowboys Nation, who would you least want the Giants to get?
Keep Jalen Waddle out
of
my
division. Yeah, we don't want those Alabama receivers. I mean, you nailed it. You're acting like you don't know these guys. You nailed it, right? We don't want Waddle getting there.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But as long as their young offensive line actually can develop and protect
sure.
Jones, we have a chance to get the ball to these guys.
There
you're
go.
Right. If they got Waddle, that'd be a pretty fun group of weapons.
JD, two people have texted in to ask if you're doing dishes.
No, I pace around my office and I flip this little like mini giveaway bat and I drop it way too often. I think that's what you guys hear.
Well, great stuff. We appreciate your insights and your access, man, and we look forward to catching you up in a couple of weeks. Give him hell out there.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There he goes. John Daniels with you here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the fan. Of course, next week we'll have CY, Chris Young, and then JD the week after that, so they're kind of alternating, and it's been a lot of fun to talk with these guys.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's one of the things I think that kind of keeps me locked in on the Ranger season is being able week by week to hear about, you know, which guys are you excited about? What did you think of this? Is this sustainable? Is that not sustainable? It's like, it's just a different kind of Ranger year, but I still love the fact that they're coming on weekly.
Yeah. I think to me too also is they realize where they're at and with their team, but they it's not like it's a beat down when they're talking. They're trying to give you some insight of what they're looking at. I thought your question about the wins and losses was really good. We want to win all the, you know, he could have done that. But no, it's like, man, no, there's a reason we're kind of working our way through these things. So I appreciate him and both CY being on with us all the time.
Appreciate Adelise Garcia as well. You heard that right. AL Player of the Week.
All in.
I mean, after the first couple of weeks, you're like, yeah, it's not sustainable. Another week he adds to it. It got better.
It's Nelly Cruz time. He's 28 and he's about to just start launching 40 home run seasons for the next 12 years.
That would hurry up the rebuild quite a bit if that's going to be the case. All right, here we go. Coming up next, time to go around the NFL here in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.